There was a man who went out to the grocery store looking for to pick up some salt. So he asked the grocer, "Do you have any salt?" "Do we have any salt?" replied the grocer. "Well, let me show you." And he took him down an aisle that was wall-to-wall salt in every size, shape, and color. There was kosher salt, there was pickling salt, there was garlic salt, there was every possible color and kind of salt you could possibly imagine. "Wow, you really do sell salt," replied the man. "You think that's impressive? Let me show you something else." And took the man into a back room where the entire room was lined. All four walls were lined with salt. Boxes upon boxes of salt. "Wow, you really do sell salt," replied the man. "You think that's something? Let me really show you." And took the man downstairs into a basement packed to the rafters with boxes and crates of salt in every size, shape, and color that you could imagine. "Wow," exclaimed the man a third time, "you really do sell salt." "That's the problem," said the grocer. "No one seems to want it, but the guy who sells it to me sure knows how to sell it." "You are the light of the world," says Jesus. "A city on a hill can't be hidden, and neither does anyone take light after lighting a lamp, place it under a basket. Instead, they place it on a lampstand for it to give light to the whole house. You are the salt of the earth," says Jesus. "And what good is salt if it loses its flavor? It's useful then only to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Storytelling in Jesus' day was big business. It was popular, and the poets of Jesus' time were the rock stars of the age. We know this because we find archaeological digs all across the Roman Empire of these poetry schools where people learn to master the art of storytelling. And these particular schools that were popular in Jesus' time were schools called crei schools, which means to share. And these were the goal of these schools was to teach people to be able to hear a story once and to be able to retell it. But with a catch, that they had to change every single detail about the story, but keep the heart of the story the same. Some scholars think that this is what Jesus is doing in this part of the Beatitudes. As part of this larger Sermon on the Mount, he tells the same story again and then repeats it, but changes all the details, keeping the heart of the story the same. "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." This is one of the few times in all of Jesus' teaching ministry where he spends time telling you what you are like. There's lots of times where he says the kingdom of heaven is like the da 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 da, or God is like yada yada yada. But he never seems to spend time telling you what you're like. I think that the hope was that, as often happens during a sermon, I'm sure not with you and certainly not right now, people zone out after the first couple of minutes. And maybe, just maybe, Jesus knows that if he starts talking about you, that you'll start paying attention again. And so he says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." It's not an either or scenario. It's not some people, those people that live out in the country that are just the nicest people, the people like my grandmother who would bake pies and plan dinner around dessert. We look at those people and we say, "Oh, those people are the salt of the earth." A city on a hill, mind you, that's what we do here in the city. But it's not an either or scenario, I don't think. I think Jesus is saying it's a both and. You are light, sure, but you're also salt. And if you think about it, the two actually share an awful lot in common. I mean, they're both antiseptic in their own way. Light is great for chasing away any of the monsters that are hiding under a child's bed or that turn that stack of clothes piled on the back of a chair into the scariest thing that a child can imagine. A little bit of light goes a long way. So too, in the ancient world, doctors would sprinkle a little bit of salt on an open wound because they knew, even if they didn't understand the biology, they knew that that salt somehow got rid of everything that wasn't supposed to be there. Everything that was bad for the body was cleared out by the salt. They're both variable. I mean, you put a little bit of salt on popcorn and the popcorn gets salty. But you put that same little bit of salt in a batch of chocolate chip cookies and the cookies get sweeter. Put a little bit of salt on top of spaghetti and the savory flavors come out. The same is true with light. All kinds of lights affect people in different ways. The NCAA had to pass a rule a couple years ago that colleges weren't allowed to paint opposing or visiting team rooms pink because it gave the home team an unfair advantage. Japan painted all of its bridges blue and watched in 1 year its suicide rate on those bridges drop by 60%. The color green has been proven by the University of Rochester last year that exposure to the simple color green makes you more creative. Light affects us in all kinds of different ways. They're both subtle until there's too much of them. Leave the salt out of a recipe and it loses a lot of its flavor. But mix the salt and the sugar up in a batch of pancakes and you're left with salty hockey pucks. The same is true with light. A little bit and you don't even think about it. But when you go to the optometrist and they shine that light in your eyes, it's blinding. Salt and light work together in the same way. And so I think that Jesus is saying that it's not an either or proposition. You don't get to choose whether to be salt or light. Both do the same thing in different ways. And so light throughout Scripture has this connotation that it is there to remind us of God's faithfulness. In Lamentations, in a book in the Old Testament of the people of God singing about how bad life is, it ends with a great reminder that we sing about often in the life of the church. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. The sunrise reminds us of the faithfulness of God. But there's another verse in the Old Testament that I think that Jesus wants us to catch. You are the salt of the earth. Because salt is there so that people can not just see their good works, but can taste and see that God is good. That's the purpose of salt and light. It's there so that by it you can see the good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. But it's also there so that now people won't just see God's work, but they'll see God's work and know that God is good. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.